All right, well, once again, my name is Corey Bettinghouse. I am the owner of Corey's Lawn Service, and we are predominantly residential maintenance company, so we don't do like installation or anything like that. We just mow yards, we do cleanups, fertilization, weed control, and irrigation, and a little bit of residential snow removal as well. And so excited to be here. Kind of theme for the top today is just more than the bottom line. So hopefully going through a little bit of the business, what I've been through, my journey, just kind of a theme verse that I have kind of been based around and just hopefully encouraging to you guys. So I want to start off a little bit. Start a little bit of just kind of our background and background of me and who I am. Started off, obviously being born, 1985, so I'm 41 years old. I've lived a little bit all over, grew up in Seattle, and then moved down here to Reno in 2003 because my parents were looking to move back to Nevada. I'm a Nevada native, born in Boulder City. And then my dad's like, hey, you should check out the school. And I remember flying in and seeing Mount Rose. I'm a big skier. I was like, wait, I can go skiing right there. Sign me up. I'm done. So came here, did civil engineering, graduated, 2006 was when my folks moved here. They moved into Del Webb community, the retirement community. And they realized that the HOA would not be mowing their yards. And at that point in time, I was like, oh, I've always had kind of that entrepreneur bug. I was like, I can figure out how to mow yards. So knocked on doors, had 30 customers before I even had a piece of equipment, and then had to figure out how to, you know, do lawn care maintenance. So from that, then finished out school, got my BS in civil engineering. I was not smart enough for civil engineering. Brian can attest to that I'm not that smart. And but it was, you know, huge community, help of other people, and growing through that. I established as an official LLC business in 2012. When I had a conversation with my future mother-in-law that says, are you going to continue doing this business? If so, you need to make it legit. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. At that point in time, we just 2 vehicles, 3 people. I do have a little knack, though, for education, and felt like if I'm running a business, I should learn more about it. So I went back to Nevada for an MBA, graduated with that in 2014, and had my first daughter, Elise. She's the next, that's my wife and kids, and that is Elise, with her tongue sticking out up there. And then from there, this is when things really started growing and learning. Was in 2016, hiring first office admin. So there's a couple bullet points here that just were seeing like key elements of the business. And I was running out of our cul-de-sac at 70 Rose Circle, still live there, and we ended up having to rent the house across the way, and then sublet to tenants, and told them, I get the driveway, the garage, and the RV parking spot, and then I can rent you the house, though. But I terrorized our neighborhood for a solid 4 or 5 years doing that, so all my neighbors still get free lawn care for everything that we did, and it's also a little selfishness because I want to have a nice-looking block as well. And then so we moved to 324 Vine Street. I'll get into that in a minute. But and then we, in 2020, a big part was expanding the fertilization weed control. These were some of the first things we needed, different licensing to actually do it, that it wasn't just going and doing mow and blow. And if I were to toot our horn about anything, is our fertilization weed control process is the best program that we have. And then recently, 2024, we moved to Dickerson Road. So at the end of that, Oxbow Park, if you guys ever get a chance, you're more than welcome to come say hi, but go to Oxbow, just walk the park. It's at the end of Dickerson, it's awesome. And so to date, 2025 is just 3,000 residential clients. And then that was, going into last year. So let me, now have to coordinate a few of these. So just want to touch base on a handful of things and just some photos. I think early on, as I was mowing, especially just out of college, my wife graduated and she was the sugar mama. She was a nurse, and so I knew I could kind of screw around or do whatever I wanted, but I still thought I was king. I was probably doing like $60,000 in revenue at this point in time, and I mean, these are just some fun pictures of like, okay, well, how do we get rid of debris? Well, we're going to load it up in the tiniest little Ford Ranger. And then typical Reno weather, starting off the season in mowing yards in snow. At this point in time, my buddy Kyle McDermott, he owns a courier business in town, and we work 2-3 days a week, and we're like, great, we get to golf, we get to screw around, and realizing that, you know, things continue to grow from there. So from that, this is when things got a little bit bigger. We're still operating out, had working out of the cul-de-sac. This was a very painful part of the business. No systems or processes that were in there. Bad hires. It was the combination of that. I had to be both the guy in the field as well as a visionary, which really at that point in time was nothing. It was just more managing chaos. But this was kind of our crew, and it's actually kind of cool that there are two guys in that photo on the right, Josiah and Nick, that still work for me 10 years later. And then also Nicole, that's in our Christmas photo there. She is now our general manager. And as I said before, also our first shop. So this for me was realistically the big boy pants. And it was actually the terminology that my future landlord had said, because I didn't know what a personal guarantee was. And I was like, wait, I have to put in my house potentially, if this fails, like I lose my house. By the way, homestead your house if you guys haven't done that. That's a big part. But that was a big part where we're signing a 5-year lease and I'm moving into this place and I'm like, okay, this thing is real now. I mean, it had been real, it had been growing, but I think for me personally, it was like, this is no longer, hey, you can just close the doors and go to the next spot. Like, you have accountability that is on this. Another part that I just want to emphasize on is Service Autopilot. Service Autopilot is the CRM system we use. This is where we first started organizing it. Initially, it was those 2 a.m. mornings, writing out route sheets for guys, doing manual invoicing through QuickBooks. And I was just like, one day, I was like, there has got to be some sort of cloud-based software out there that can manage the system. And I found Service Autopilot. And we still run off of that. And one thing, me and the goofy hat and stuff, is one of my biggest mentors actually came out of this. His name is Jonathan Potoshnik. So not only did he have this lawn care software, but he also ran, I think at the time, I mean, he's probably now doing between 15, 20 million in revenue with his residential lawn care business down in Dallas, Texas. But he had a heart for teaching other guys in Dallas of like what this meant to run a business. Because a lot of us were all in this threshold of like maybe $500,000 in revenue to $1 million, but with no systems and processes. So Service Autopilot was a huge element where then, and I would encourage anyone with a business, if you can find a community that is even, that you would be considered competition, but all these businesses were all across the United States. So we were more than willing to share trade secrets. We were more than happy because we weren't direct competitors. So it was definitely that feeling of rising tide raises all ships. And then with that, every year he did a competition called The Biggest Badass. And so it was personal development, it was business development, it was physicality, it was like all these things encompassing what it was, not just as, okay, how much revenue did you get? So I submitted a video and I ended up winning it. My wife got a trip and I to Greece, which was awesome. But Service Autopilot, I would say, has been a huge key of our business. So this is weird going back and forth. Maybe. Sweet. Oh, because that reveals. Sorry, guys. If you can't tell, and I was even telling the tech guys, like, I'm not usually the tech deck guy. So if these all look pretty janky, that's me. So this is what I really want to dive into, though. So being a lay pastor at Living Stones, as well as running the business, as I was going through the elder and training process, this is one of our key verses. It's identifying what a pastor looked like. What does an elder of the church look like? And so this verse is 1 Peter 5:2-3, which is shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And so with this, this has been really key, not just in that. And I do want to identify, first of all, that the Apostle Peter is speaking specifically what it looks like to be an elder. So there are elements to this verse that you can't like pull out and directly apply and say, I'm going to 100% apply this to my business or my family. But for me, this has been identifying the flock. And a huge part of that is, what is the flock that is among us? And I think as entrepreneurs, and not saying that it's a bad thing, that we want to go climb up the highest mountain. We want to increase our revenue 10x. We want to sacrifice everything for this big revenue growth. And I think sometimes that as entrepreneurs, we can forget what God, especially as believers, what God has put just right before us, and get distracted with the shiny new objects and things like that. So this has been really heavy on me ever since really going through this verse. And so the rest of this presentation is kind of want to go through what this has identified to me as and see if it goes for that. So in this, number one, you've got to know your flock. And you've got to know and identify what that is. So one thing is also, if you guys are churchgoers, I'm guessing, who knows Enneagram numbers and stuff like that? Yeah, so I'm a 7. So as a 7, I'm just a fun guy. I want to go over all the things. I've got get distracted way too often. And I also have major FOMO. So the key here is really identifying that flock of God that is among you. And so I think over the last several years that it's taken some pain points, but these are my three flocks. My three flocks is my family, my business, and my church. And with that, I just kind of want to, go through each one of those. Is number one is just trying to identify who your flock is. And so this is just a question that I have for you guys. There's a few questions in here. Is who are the people that God has clearly placed under your care right now? And just think through that. So whether you want to write that down or just acknowledge, like, who has God put right in front of you? Who is the flock that is among you? Not the future crazy goals, but what does God have right in front of you? And this is one that is a quote from Stephen Covey. So if you've read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, sorry, my font and colors are not that great, but you have to decide what your highest priorities are and have the courage, the pleasantly, smiling, not apologetically, to say no to other things. And the way you do that is by having a bigger yes burning inside of you. The enemy of best is often good. And so just diving in a little story, this wasn't too long ago, but in 2023, my business was growing. I think we were probably doing about $2.5 million in revenue at that point in time. So we've been growing. We had to move locations. I told you we were at that Vine Street. Jay Resorts bought up all of 4th Street and they basically kicked us out. And I do want to actually compliment Jay Resorts. They were great landlords after my first one and like worked with me on a ton of stuff. So I think they got a bad rap and around Reno. But for me personally, they were great. But we still had to move. At that point in time, I was also a part and still a part of an entrepreneurship organization, but was asked to join the board. So I was the membership chair of that board. I was being a lay pastor at Living Stones. I was leading Bible study in our small group. My kids had all gotten into different sports and activities, and that was the Uber driver that we were talking about. We homeschool our kids as well, so supporting my wife through that. I also am part of a second business. My college buddies and I thought it'd be an awesome idea to buy or start a bar, which if you have no idea what you're doing, that's not a great idea. And we learned that the hard way. But in 2023, both our operations manager and our main bar manager left for other opportunities. And my best man, that was my wedding, Corey Hunt, and myself were sitting there, and originally as a silent owner of this thing, stuck with how do we manage this thing? How do we run this thing? And so I jumped into operations as well as that. We basically took the huge list and were like, what can you do and what can you do? And so that meant I was going to Corey's Lawn Service doing level 10 high-level meetings with my managers, my leaders. And then I'd be like, all right, guys, see you later. I've got to go clean toilets and change kegs and make ordering and wipe things down. So it was a unique opportunity, but very overwhelming. Also serving, playing bass at the church. Our house flooded at that point in time. And then on top of it, a really heavy time with some family friends that lost their son. And my wife was in the hospital. We were all in the hospital with them. But she was really heavily a part of that. And it just really affected her. And like, she was going through therapy. So this is what I'm saying. Like, even though there are some things that are not necessarily bad things, this was a hard time of life to say no to things. I was very distracted. I was stretched thin. I felt like I was doing nothing well. And then my family on top of it really just got the leftovers. Between both the Corey's Lawn Service and the bar and all the other distractions, this was a time of life that was a huge strain on our, and not identifying the core of our flock. So this is a verse, again, that kind of correlates with that in Proverbs that says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. And, you know, I feel like this just comes alongside of those things. Is like there are things that God has put, like, directly ahead of us. And I'm not saying that it's bad to have future-oriented goals. but I hate to miss that flock that is directly in front of you and focusing on things that, yeah, that are just right there. So question two for you guys is, what am I currently saying yes to that is causing me to neglect the people or responsibilities God has actually entrusted me with? So lastly here, this didn't come through. Dang. Oh, well. Yeah, we'll go through that. Or we'll go through this. So in the ending of 1 Peter 2 through 5, again, he goes into that you're exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And so this was just a graph breakdown that's talking about how Peter's phrasing this and how that relates to us as leaders and the leadership issue. So there it would be not under compulsion, and that is a heart issue. And so going and figuring out the necessary heart issue. Am I resentful or am I being willing in doing this? Another part that Peter brings up here is not doing it for shameful gain, but eagerly. This is your motive that's behind it. And the question behind it is, am I serving or am I trying to extract out of what I'm being a part of? And then finally, he says, not domineering, but being an example. And this is the method that's to it. So am I being controlling or am I modeling? So question three that's in this with these. Yes. Am I leading with willingness, eagerness, and example, or with resentment, selfish gain, and control? So I just want to kind of go through my three flocks with you. And maybe it's relatable. Maybe you're past the season of these three flocks. Maybe your flocks totally identify as something else. But just so you can get into both my family, church, and what I would say for those as well as the business. So starting with, there we go. So my work flock. What does it look like to shepherd the work flock? For us, I mean, these are some fun things that we've had, but I would say what this looks like is number one, with integrity, as well as treating everyone that's equal that you work with. I think it's easy as a leader, especially as a big business, this bigger business, for me, even my staff employees, well, you're the one that signs our paychecks, or your name is literally on the sign. I wish I could have thought of a better name at the time, but it stuck with it. The branding was done, so it was Corey's Lawn Service. So with that is just the integrity that you have among the others and treating everyone as an equal. Another part is just really investing into the team. Number one for us is on a financial side of things. We offer, if anyone really wants to be continuing education, this is a huge part where we will be paying for those continuing educations for certificates. Josiah that's been here, he's got Backflow certified, Quell certified. Honestly, Josiah Gookins is probably one of the best, most knowledgeable irrigation techs in Reno, Nevada, just because he's taken advantage of this. He's like, dude, I want to learn everything that I can that's about that. Other parts that we realized with our staff is you can realize that a lot of our staff is probably not highly educated, which also then runs into their finances of going paycheck to paycheck. So we have, for the last 3 years, done Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and we just offer that. We actually even bonus if you complete it and you're showing us your savings. Like, we will bonus you on top of it to get you your money that goes into it. And one of the success story was a gal this winter, been with us for 3 years, and we were going into layoff season, and she was just like, I'm not concerned this year. And I'm like, why? And she's like, well, with doing financial peace, I know I have rent for December, January, and February already. And we're like, man, this is a huge. And this is like, you can give a man a fish, they eat for a day, but teach them a fish, they live for a lifetime. And so this is really cool, just being able to invest into them and in what it looks like for them to be able to budget. I'm sure in a lot of more white-collar work, there is elements that are other ones, but I can tell you, my line of industry, there's not many landscape companies. So we do 401k benefits. We have health insurance, life insurance, dental, all those things. We are continuing to try and financially put money into our staff and care for them that way. Another one is practically. This is through hardships and hospitalizations. You see that photo that's there of Jesus and Alberto and myself. Jesus, man, he is a fantastic dude. Awesome man, was super encouraging, but this is a time like he had major complications of COVID. And, so visiting in the hospital, being there for him and his family that was going on. I mean, he actually did make it out of the hospital, but had some major lung damage and actually passed last year. But just being there for their families, meals, if employees are moving, going and just being like, how can we help you move? What are things that we can do? And then just fun team building events. That's one of the things that we really love to do, whether it's just not just a Christmas party. We love going to, we just did ACES event last week. During summer, we'll do like Lake Tahoe one. Actually, because of World Cup, so next, actually, I think it's in 2 weeks, we're doing a World Cup. And this is also cross-culturally, right? I'm like, what are the things? I keep doing all these white people things. But I was like, we have so many different diversities here. Like, what else can we do? So I was like, when is a Mexico World Cup game? And so we found out on June 18th, Mexico's playing. So we rented out our bar, and we're going to be like, sweet, we're going to provide pizza. And if you guys want to drink, like, then great, just be safe and smart. But then, like, let's watch a World Cup game together. And then also on top of this is spiritually. It's not necessarily being in the face. I don't feel like my role as a business owner has been the, hey, guys, I'm the Jesus lover, like, and out there up front. And, hey, you know, just reminder, Bible study on this day. Hey, you got to come to church. But realistically, in those hard moments, we have seen some deep, dark stuff, some heavy mental health, some depression, as well as some loss. And those are those opportunities of like how, you know, I mean, being able to just pray for one of my workers and cry and weep with him because he lost his fiance last year. And another part that's been huge, awesome, honestly, they're all here, Marketplace Chaplains. We've been working with you guys for a year and a half now. Provides a safe space for people to talk to. So Nelson, Yolanda, and Brad are all been a helpful part of the team for that show up on a weekly basis and get to know our staff as well, and that is a safe place for them to go to as well. Just also trust in having a conversation and being there genuinely for other people. And also, small things go a long way. Having good snacks. I think our weekly budget for Costco is like $800-$900 at this point in time. And just good equipment. It's crazy. We've had people come to our business because they're like, yeah, this place, they just try and save money and they duct tape everything. It's like, well, we'll buy you new stuff because you're completing work and doing a good job. Who knew that weekly pay was a big thing? For us, like paying on a weekly basis when you're especially working paycheck to paycheck, another one is just birthday pay. I think this one was a selfish one because I like doing fun things on my birthday. And so for them, I'm like, man, if they got to work on their birthday, at least they should, you know, like get a bonus on that. Or if they don't want to work on their birthday, great. So we just pay them a full day's worth of pay on your birthday in recognition. So so this is just one quote. Actually, my management team and I went through the book, The Dream Manager, this last year. It was fantastic. And just a quote from here, I mean, to emphasize on this, an organization can only become the best version of itself to the extent that its people are becoming better versions of themselves. So that was kind of flock number one there. So second flock is our church flock. And I was thinking, like, you could go at the angle of, like, what this looks like of serving at Living Stones, but realistically, I think as leaders or business owners, what does this just look like consistently at church? And I think I've kind of boiled these down to just three things. Showing up regularly. Church is the worst hobby. If you're going to church, it's a hobby or it's just because of something you did. There are probably much better things that you can do on a Sunday. And so what this looks like is being part of the community, being there regularly. Like, I mean, in Hebrews 10, 24 through 35 says, and let us consider how to stir one another up in love and in good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another. The church is a place to come and worship. It's not a hobby. This is a place to encounter God. And so I would challenge to show up on a regular basis, not just when it's convenient. Number two is showing up relationally. This gets a little bit more challenging through that because that isn't a, hey, I'm going to show up 10 minutes late, catch a message, jet out. This is showing up early. This is getting a part of community groups and Bible studies that are there and showing up relationally for other people so you can bear one another's burdens. And lastly is showing up generously. Something that has actually been really cool with the lawn care business that I never thought is the way that even the lawn care business can bless the church. We partner a lot with Foster the City, And I remember going to one of the Foster City's conversations about, I'm like, dude, there's no way. God is definitely not calling me to adopt a kid. I know that right now. But then I like see their circle and they go and they're like, there's literally a spot that says, we need help with lawn care needs. This is how you can partner. And I just was like, oh, well, I've got a lawn care business. Let me just sign up. If any of you guys, like if there's anyone that's in the foster system or a family that's doing it, we'll just take care of their yard. And then even just locally, even at church, like there is widows that are going through hard times or people that don't have financial needs. And so like we have a ministry at our church that is just like, okay, where's the handyman? What are things like that? Like just being able to provide a yard cleanup and things like that is huge. So showing up generously, whether it's with your business or, I mean, just even financially, just faithfully giving to your church, faithfully giving up your time. And finally, I just want to touch on my home flock and then also as well as your cup. One thing I've definitely recognized is that if my cup isn't full, then I am coming on low battery, which still happens a lot for my family. And so my family knows that if I am in a good spot, that they're in a good spot. And so this has been able to provide some just fun events. And sorry for those of you, if you guys are 49er fans out here, I'm a huge Seahawks fan. That's where all our, if you ever want to know where the green trucks come from, it's the rush color from Seattle Seahawks. So you see it, and if you hate the Seahawks, you can, you know, shake your fist at me as you go by. Yeah, so with that, I just want to put in some practical rhythms that this looks like for shepherding the flock of my family. So I know for some of you, this might not be in the same stage of life, but I'm saying I do not nail these 100%. I just noticed that the times that I am walking the most faithfully, the times that I am there the most for my wife and for my family, the times that I am a good dad, like these are rhythms in my life that are going solid. So number one is in the morning, just the 10-10-10. I personally use Oak Journal. So this is first thing in the morning. Actually, the cool thing about it is there's accountability. So Brian actually is one of my accountability guys of sending a picture every single day of doing the journal. And so that's 10 minutes of just journaling and 10 minutes of scripture reading and 10 minutes of prayer. Other things is, we know nothing happens accidentally. So scheduling or on the calendar a time of the week for you to be able to fill up your cup. And so whether that's just a workout or going for a walk or a hike or golf, I'm a big golfer, so that's kind of what always my extra time will go to. Spa, getting your nails done, but making sure you actually put that in the calendar and making it happen. The next one is just making memories with family. It doesn't have to be extravagant. These are things, and I heard this from my buddy, buddy Jordan, and he's actually 4 years younger than me with 8 kids. And he would always say to his family, let's go make some memories. I'm like, man, it sounds a little cliche, but it's like, it's in the ordinary a lot of the times. Like I think about it with my son Fisher, how many times, like he just the other night, he's like, hey, let's jump on the trampoline. Do you think I want to go jump on the trampoline? No, but it makes memories. It makes smiles, it makes that. Even just yesterday, I was like, man, our lawn's getting long, I'm gonna have to mow it. He's like, can I learn how to mow the lawn? And part of me is like, no, I just wanna get this done. I'm like, nope, this is memories. Like, let's figure out and do this together. So it doesn't have to be huge trips or anything like that. It's just a lot of the times is making memories with my family. Meals is family, technology free. This is a huge one. Our only TV is in our garage and upstairs. And so it's destination. We do like to watch movies together and things like that, but it's not on in the background and phones are not on at the table. So instead of, especially if you guys probably either teenagers or younger kids like I do, if you say, how was your day? It's good and that's it. So our two big things are highs and lows, going around the table. What was your high of the day? What was the low? And then another fun one is like every year my wife gets me a dad joke calendar, you know, like the ones that you rip off. And there's just dad jokes. And so we just go through and do dad jokes every single dinner. It's amazing. Huge for us is also just being reading scripture stories as a family. This is a hard rhythm. I would imagine we've been doing this for a long time, but I can imagine, I mean, I know everyone has probably different age kids and probably some are grown up and out and have their own kids. So maybe it's your grandkids that you can do this with. But a couple resources I would definitely say, the Jesus Storybook Bible, Long Story Short, The Little Pilgrim's Adventure. And just sitting down before going to bed, you know, get the brush to the teeth, like, let's sit down and let's like end our day around God. And same thing with our bedtime routine. I'm still waiting for the day because my daughter is going to turn 12 in July. And I, like, every time I crawl up into her bed, she's on the top bunk, to sing to her and to pray with her, I'm like, man, you are going to kick me out of here soon. Like, I just know that that time is going to end. And I hope it doesn't. It might be a little awkward if she's like 16 and we're still just singing songs. But at the same time, I don't want it to go. And it's just been an amazing process, like, for our family routines of keeping our family in scripture, keeping our family Jesus-centric, and shepherding that flock that's on that. So, and then lastly, whatever energy we have left at the end of the day, we try not to jump on our phones. I can tell you, we're not perfect at this, but we got one little small couch and sit there and just catching up on the day. And sometimes it could just be the most, you know, the just quick little check-in on the next day, but other times you never know what those conversations lead to. And so just in wrapping up and closing here, just this theme verse that has been for myself, and I just encourage you guys to think about it, for knowing and identifying who your flock is and remembering what you need to do to protect your flock, and then also going through, I know the graph didn't come up all that well on there, but shepherding with the right heart, the right motive, and the right method. So I think that's all I've got. Sweet. Thank you, guys.